Welcome to Intentional Mamas Podcast. No matter if you are a mom or will be one someday, this is a fun way for girls to get together and dive into spiritual growth in ourselves and our homes. To learn more, check out the Intentional Mamas Facebook page, the Root Bible social media pages, or at rootbible.com. Now, here is Pastor Kate Richter.
Good morning. I am so glad that you're here for Intentional Mamas. I'm coming to you from the home of rootbible.com, where we aim to reach everyone generationally. I'm Pastor Kate, and we're taking the word and bringing it to life in our homes today. As intentional moms, whether you're joining me in class live face-to-face at rootbible.com, or you're joining me on a streaming platform, preferably Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Last Resort, go ahead and comment where you're listening from, where you're coming in from. And you know, you could also comment on like a family verse. I want to hear that today. What's a verse you stand on as a family, uncompromisingly? Go ahead and put that in, whether you're listening live or you're listening to the pre-recorded, or you're listening to the podcast. Discuss with someone around you what your family verse is, what you stand on as a family. We have a declaration in our family, but the one we stand on the most is that our family is able to be generous and a blessing on every occasion. So there's never a time we're looking around the table going, who's going to pay? There's never a time that we don't have what someone is in need of, because the Lord in us is more than enough. And the scripture says that we have more than enough to be able to be generous and a blessing on every occasion. So that is a scripture that our family stands on and mentions to each other often when we're in a situation where perhaps our flesh would not want to engage in blessing someone, that we have because of what we see in our bank account, because of what we've experienced, because of a bill, whatever. We can quote that scripture and stand firm on the provision of God and our ability to be a blessing in every occasion. So I'm so glad that you are here. Go ahead and type that verse. Remember that Facebook has been blocking us quite a bit. So if I do not see your messages, I will check them after, okay? And I will get back to every single one, because it's a real honor to have you here and be going after what God has for us as intentional mamas together. And listen, if you're listening and you're a guy, you don't have the luxury of choosing to be a girl, but this is good intentional information that doesn't just apply to moms or women. So I'm glad that you're here. We have just started a semester in rootbible.com, which goes 2 months long normally, unless the Lord says to have it go longer, in which we teach almost every day of the week a different age group about what our current semester is, which is heaven's health. So what does the Bible really say about heaven's health? We're going to get right into it, because there's a lot of people talking about healing, and talking about the gift of healing, and talking about the need for healing, and talking about the healer. But without a foundation in the Word of God, ignited by His Spirit, anything you think you believe could be stolen away. And Scripture can be used to do it if you're not solid on knowing Him, His character, who He is, and the fact that He never changes. So the Lord led us to do this series and whispered to start it quite a while ago. However, when we write a new series, we have over 40 different curriculums we have written that can span across every age group. And you know, even when you hear that, I get so frustrated with the church, the way that it's broken up and isolated different age groups consistently. There's nothing wrong with children's church. We write curriculum for children's church. There's nothing wrong with youth group. But there's got to be a time where the family knows how to come together in understanding in the Word together. So we write curriculum that does span across the age groups, so that we can teach this same thing to elementary and preschool, obviously switched out just a little, as we do junior high, high school, and adults. And that is a passion of ours. So the Lord whispered to do this curriculum quite a while ago, and we knew what it would take. And in fact, when I get off this recording today, I will be writing another one, and we'll talk a little bit about what next week will be. But we not only write the curriculum, we also make amazing worksheets, if I do say so myself. So things that have like vocab words in it and car chats. So I just hung mine up yesterday. You can hang it around your rear view mirror, if I can say that right. Going over each week in depth of what you've really learned. And listen, we make them kind of fun looking because we want different age groups to engage, but don't let the fun looking fool you. Whether you are 30 or 3, these are going in depth into what we've been teaching. So you can make it a reality, whether you have your kids do these worksheets or you do them as a family. Get talking about God. Get talking about what He is doing. Get so secure, so solid in your home in who He is and hearing His voice and what His word says and who He says He is and what we know on heaven's health that it cannot be shaken. Now, all of these can be found free if you've registered for the class, free. You can find all of those things in the discussion area. So it's not even like we hide them from you, okay? You just go right out there, get them. You can put questions in the discussion area and get answers. You can have prayer requests in there. Whatever it is, we want to work together as the body of Christ to be secure first in our homes in who Christ is, then our communities, then the nations. But we have to know first at home. We have to be unshakable families at home. And why Heaven's Health? You know, it was shortly after COVID that the Lord really said, listen, I need my people solid in knowing what to believe when it comes to healing. Because when COVID hit, it was like people that preached healing, that taught healing, people that wrote healing books, all of a sudden were hiding in their homes and no longer standing on the word of God the minute that someone said it was contagious. Now, I won't go into the whole plandemic nonsense and the stupidity that followed all of this derived by the devil nonsense. But after we saw the condition of a lot of the church and the leaders in the church, the Lord said, listen, I need my people solid on what I say about health, not only in this day, but in the days to come. We said yes. It took us this long to get it started, but here we are, and we are in week one of Heaven's Health. Now, I'm going to tell you some of this stuff is going to shake you. It's going to knock over some sacred cows, but I'm only going to use the word, and I'm only going to use Hebrew understanding of the word because we're beginning in the Old Testament to help you know what God is saying. And so, if you challenge it with the word and with your Strong's Concordance. Don't challenge it by your experience, your emotions, by what you've seen or by what you've heard before. Challenge it by the word itself, okay? So let's go ahead and get started. There's so many opinions today about being healthy even. Right? How to be healthy. Don't eat butter. Don't eat margarine. Eat eggs. Don't eat eggs. Have meat. Don't have meat. Be a vegetarian. Don't be a vegetarian. The Bible says do this. The Bible says do that. Okay? And nothing is taken into context. One of the reasons margarine became such a huge fad, nobody looked at what the ingredients were. When they decided to say margarine was better than butter, they didn't know it was half plastic. Right? And so ensues the take what we say into account without knowing the root of what we're saying. And a lot, you know, the medical community did that. The FDA did that when they turned on butter and introduced margarine and said, this is way more healthy. Butter is bad for you. They said, don't look too deep. Just take what we say. Well, that's not what we want to do with the word of God, is it? We want to look deep. All right. So what about people that want to stay healthy? People have many different ideas, right? I go to doctors every year and I get my checkup. I never go to doctors ever. I don't have a doctor. We can rely on God for healing sometimes, but most of the time he's going to work through doctors. Some say both. And you're going to get every single answer out of Christians, people who call themselves Christ followers. So what's right? How about this? Some people say that God can heal people, but only if it's his will. Or God makes people sick if they're not doing what is right. He puts sickness on them. Come on, guys. We're talking for real. All right? What about you can have healing. Christ died so you could be healed, but only once you get to heaven. So maybe your healing's not on this side of heaven. Ooh, I just want to punch those people that talk like that. How less faith could you have? How least faith? How less faith? How little faith can you have? And then to say that to someone who's walking the walk right now and then go, oh, well, maybe it's not for you on this side of heaven. Blah. Okay? But people say that. But if we're going to find out what of that stuff is true, you can't just take my word for it. You can't just take Pastor Kate's opinion of it. You can't just take Pastor so-and-so's outlook on it. We've got to look to the word. When we're considering heaven's health, and when I say health, I'm talking about the word health. So let's define it. Because I know some people call health, I get out of bed every morning. Even though I creak and crackle and I have to use this cream and that pill, I'm in health. Well, what does the Bible, what does Hebrew, what does Greek say that health is defined as? Not even today, Webster's 28 backs up what the Bible defined health is, and that is this: physical wholeness and perfect soundness. Oh my, that sounds impossible, Pastor Kate. Well, good thing he's the God of the impossible. So we're going to dive into, is that his will? Is his will that I be in perfect health all of the time? Is it God's will that my kids be in physical wholeness and perfect soundness all of the time? It sounds so unrealistic when we say it, taking in our five senses and the experiences of this world, the things we've watched, the movies. My kids are not allowed to watch movies where premature death is involved, especially of parents, but any. Calculating and conditioning them to think that that's normal outside of God's good plan. We don't watch movies like that unless we edit that part out, and then they don't even know it exists. All right, so physical wholeness and perfect soundness, is that his plan, his will for us all the time? All right, our scripture declaration that we're doing as families this week is God's will is healing, Exodus 15:26. But Pastor Kate, that's Old Testament. Yes, it is. And we'll be talking a lot about the Old Testament today because we need to know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're going to begin there. Now, we have these cool bands coming out. Keep a watch out on our website, which are Heaven's Health Bands. You're going to need them. You're going to use them. You're going to anoint them. You're going to put them on people. And by the end of this semester, you're going to be so unshakable in what God says about heaven's health that you're going to want to share it with everyone that you see. That's how the gospel becomes contagious. You not even want to just share it. You want to disciple others in it. We will make these recordings available. The podcast is out there and you can share it as much as possible. Because we want people who know the Lord and are redeemed by Christ to know what's rightfully theirs and walk in it. All right? Here's the big question. If God's will is healing, do we need to wait until we get to heaven to be healed? Do we hope that God will heal us one day here on earth if we're good enough? Does God need another angel or a flower in his garden in heaven? Please don't ever say that. And if someone says that around you, shut them down with love and firmness? Or does it, or is it his will for health to be a reality in our bodies now? Does he will for us not to experience cold or flu or headache or cancer? Well, we'll talk about all this, every single one of those, in this week and beyond. But some people have told me, and you know it, that God makes people sick. And I'm like, you're crazy. God doesn't make people sick. And they'll give me scriptures like this. If you're listening, go ahead and type it in. Deuteronomy 28:27. After I've just argued my point on healing, after I've said you can have full confidence that he wants you healed, they'll say, oh yeah, well, God put sickness on me. So maybe he put sickness on people. So maybe he put this on me. They'll give me again, 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 27. The Lord will smite you with boils of Egypt and with tumors and with the scab and with the itch of which you cannot be healed. Okay. Yeah, and then what? My grand defense will be, that's Old Testament. Okay, well, let's dive in. If God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, if he put sickness on people then, wouldn't he put it on them now? Pastor Kate, I thought you said this was a teaching on healing. It is. We must scrutinize the scriptures to understand our Father and let the Holy Spirit bring truth as our reality. Now, in Hebrew, there are some things we're going to discover in this class that don't allow the translation to English to be clear. And that is coming up, so stay tuned. But first, let's look at the word smite, a fun word to say, and it comes up in scripture a lot, both Old and New Testament. But what's the definition of smite? The definition of smite is to hurt with blows from fists or a weapon, to afflict, to chasten, to punish. And it's not just in the Old Testament, remember? Acts 12:23 says this about King Herod. And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and died. Guys, I know. How many of you want to just switch the channel? Because you're like, I'm looking for a good, encouraging message on healing. Good. Hang on. Because if we don't scrutinize these scriptures, the enemy will bring these scriptures back to you when you are standing firm on what is yours and make you doubt, because you'll read scriptures like this out of context or not by what they mean. There are many Bible verses that talk about smiting, and we can't just ignore them. There are many Bible verses like this that says God inflicted or was the cause of these things. But do we just ignore these scriptures and let the enemy bring them up later? No. Nope. Let's find out now so we can be confident in what they really say. If we just take the scriptures that we like, if I just tell you our scripture declaration this month, or I just tell you this semester's verse, okay, one of my favorite, the one that the very first verse I ever memorized was 1 Peter 2:24, I could just tell you this, and it's true. But if I'm leaving out all the other scriptures, I'm just giving opportunity to the devil, who does know scripture, to use it and twist it without my confidence being in what God has said. So what is it? He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live unto righteousness, by whose stripes I have been, or you have been, healed. True. But then somebody comes to you and says, well, what if God gave it to you because, you know, the decisions you made or a sin you did, or what if he put it on you, and all of a sudden you start doubting? We must take every ounce of scripture and hold it against other scripture and study so that God by his spirit can reveal or speak to us, because when we hear, we will be healed. Let's listen to his word. What does hear mean? Hear with, listen with understanding. Okay, the devil twists the word of God. So we don't want to be the people that are just giving scriptures that fit our narrative. Listen, I'm just going to pull out the ones I like, and we're going to ignore the ones we don't. The devil quoted scripture. What? Yes, Scripture is powerful. We need to speak scripture. Scripture is what defends us. It's our sword of the spirit. And yet the devil quoted scripture, which shows us that scripture can be used in the hands of the enemy or inappropriately. And let me give you a point. Matthew 4, it's also found in Luke 4. We're going to see it right in our word, not because Pastor Kate said it. Okay, let's look at it. Here's the devil talking in Matthew 4. We're going to go Matthew, not Luke. We could go to Luke. Matthew 4, verse 5. Then the devil takes him up into the holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple and says to him, what was he saying it to? Jesus. If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. Here, devil's still talking. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. The devil's literally quoting Psalms 91:11 there, out of his mouth, which shows us that the word of God can be misused. And we need to responsibly rightly divide it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to rightly divide the word. What does that mean? That means we have to actually know what he is saying. Now, why am I going down this road? Because if we are brought scriptures like Deuteronomy 28:27 or Acts 12:23, we've got to be ready to explain in full understanding what those verses are and how they expose God as good. It's kind of like if you give someone a pizza and you ask them to cut it in half and you say, share both halves, you two, and someone cuts it way unevenly. You're only getting a portion of the pizza, some a bigger portion, some a smaller portion. So, you know, you think full gospel church, they have a bigger portion. You think Baptist church, they have a smaller portion. You think Methodist church, they have a different portion. Okay, no, we need it all. But we need it all balanced by the Holy Spirit and rightly divided, which means I know where to cut it so that it is in full understanding of what God is saying in his word through his spirit by the hand of the man that wrote it down and in its original language and why it was translated the way it was into English, the translation I am reading. Okay. Scriptures. People will attempt to focus on the scripture that agrees with what they already think about a subject. Would you agree? I do. I've done it. When I started studying for this and saw all these verses about what God did, according to my Bible, I thought, Lord, what is this? And he took me down a road to understanding what it was. If we don't understand his word, how are we going to teach our kids it? Our kids learn verses. We're all about learning verses. I just had someone record a beautiful song for our first Peter 2:24. My son's going to lay a track behind it after I'm done with this. And I want scripture in people's hearts. But the devil knows scripture and uses it inappropriately. And so can we. We can use scripture inappropriately. We can use it to advance flesh or the kingdom of evil. What? It's what the devil was doing in the desert. It's the heart behind it. We have to divide it correctly. All right, so here we go. Where do we go to do that? The word. Isaiah 66:14. When you see these things, your heart will rejoice. You will flourish like the grass. Everyone will see the Lord's hand of blessing on his servants and his anger against his enemies. So who gets what, guys? Who gets what? Do his kids get the same thing as his enemies? Deuteronomy 28, even in the Old Testament or Old Covenant, God's best plan and will was that we be blessed. It was when they didn't obey that it opened the door to sickness in the Old Testament or under the Old Covenant. All the verses about smiting people are talking about God doing that to those who became his enemies through continued disobedience and rebellion. If you believe in him and obey his leading, you flourish and are blessed. If you don't know him or you are not obeying his leading, then your life withers and you are cursed, not blessed. Now, he laid this out from the beginning. Look at the Garden of Eden. There he was, laying out good things, right? But he gave what? Free will. I'm not going there yet. Let's look at this. Exodus 12, 23. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer or devourer to come into your house to smite you. Okay. This one right here is the verse that should make you go, maybe English is not translating this correctly, rather than just blow over it. Listen to this. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. Who's doing the smiting? This is where you've got to understand that Hebrew has a permissive will attached to it that the English language does not. Who does the smiting? Not God. Who? The enemy. He delivered those who didn't obey him over to the devourer. Now, why is that? Because he's a just God. He has set up free will from the beginning with Adam and Eve. Hey, here is everything. I created it for you. I made you in my image. It is good. And this is all I need you not to do. Is to not do what you want to do concerning this tree. I need you to trust me and stay far from it. Don't eat of it. Didn't say stay far from it. He said don't eat of it. Okay? So he set that up for them. He wasn't evil. God didn't create it. God didn't create sin. God created free will. So when we look at this, the enemy is the one that's doing the smiting, the devourer or the destroyer. What's the definition of devourer? To consume, eat up, and eat until finished, to devour, squander, annoy, or injure. God, since the beginning with Adam and Eve, has been revealing who he is through people on earth. And he would reveal himself through names, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, right? He would reveal himself. Never once did he reveal himself as Jehovah Devourer. Never once. Jehovah Destroyer. Mm-mm. That's not who he is. He is love. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when he judged them disobedient and rebellious, and knowing they had refused to follow his commands, well, what happens? It goes to stage two out of love. Wake them up to real obedience. He gives their flesh over to the devourer so that their spirits may be saved, their souls may be saved. Even in the Old Testament, before they understood what sin was, look at Cain. Cain killed his brother. But he didn't have like this major consequence. In fact, the Bible says that he was still blessed. Why? Cain didn't know. I mean, yes, you have that. I probably shouldn't do this. This is rage. But you haven't been told by God, if you do this, then this. So God, a just God, had no reason to punish Cain. Now, he punished him for bringing him the wrong offering, right? Because he had told him what to bring him. And he brought him what he wanted to bring him anyway. But now from there, he's working to help people understand that free will can choose righteousness or sin. Free will can choose to press in and hear God because you were created by him, or sin. But they didn't even know what sin was or the consequences of it. You got to remember this. This is why we have history unfolding from Genesis on, because God is revealing himself through people to the people in a fallen world where Adam gave full authority over to the enemy. God is God. What God creates is good. And Genesis displays that in the very beginning. On what day did God create cancer? On what day did God create the flu? On what day did God create dementia? No. Those things are listed in Deuteronomy as a curse, not a blessing. The consequences of not obeying God were curses. Nothing listed in the blessings had anything to do with that. The Bible is actually very clear that as people didn't listen to him, it sat in God's heart. It made him regret creating people and have to hold back his hand because of justice. And when he holds back his hand, then the devourer has the right to come in. So even in a world where the enemy has authority, those, even in the Old Testament, that would listen to God had the right to be protected by him and remain in his blessings. What? Yeah, he's that good. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promise as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing any perish, but for all to come to repentance. This is the same as you would liken it to your kids. You keep working with them. You don't want to hand them over. You don't want to lift your hand because you're like, no, listen, I believe in you. I know you can do this. I'm not going to be quick and rational in this. I'm going to work with you as long as I can until you're out of my house to get you to the point where you understand blessing is better than cursing. See, God doesn't want people to experience eternal death in hell. That's how it's described. When you go to hell, it's eternally dying. You don't actually die. You die continually, eternally. That's when you're in a place where there is complete absence of God's goodness. It's not the holding place. It's not the Abraham's bosom. This is the final finale. The 1,000-year reign is done. And those that are going to follow the devil into Sheol, the bottomless pit, will burn eternally because there is absence, complete absence of God's goodness by their choice. God doesn't want that for anyone. He doesn't want you to experience continued misery here on earth either. So ever since the beginning, we see him revealing himself so people didn't have to experience the misery that came from living in sin. But God allowed it. Because he allowed it to happen, did that mean that was his will? Nope. In fact, Jesus, through the scriptures in John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, Jesus was the portrayal or the picture of God. The reason, let's really get into this. The Bible scholars of the day who had made the word flesh to themselves, meaning for their own benefit, didn't recognize Jesus when he was standing right in front of him. But those that were desperately seeking his coming, who wanted by seeking his face, the scriptures in life, not to hold people bondage, but for life, they recognized Jesus. Why? Because he was a picture of the Father from the Old Testament. The one that was continually trying to reveal himself as healing, as blessing, as more than enough, as wisdom, as authority, as honor. So when Jesus shows up and says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. People are like, that looks a lot like our Father. They knew the scriptures and they wanted him, not the power of the word to control people. They wanted him. So guess what? They recognized him. John 10:10 is reminding us that the enemy is the destroyer and God is the life giver. Which one do you want? God did not create sin. Free will did. You can see that in Genesis 2. Never on a day did he create sin, but he did create free will, the choice to listen to God. You can tell your kids it like this. Free will is like this. Do you want a best friend who chooses to be your best friend? Or do you want a best friend who's made to be your best friend? Like you had a best friend for 10 years and then one day your parents come and say, oh, see, they left. We ran out of money. We were paying them $500 a week to be your friend. All of a sudden you're like, wait, they were only my friend because you were paying them? That's the absence of free will. God gave us free will because it's his heart's desire that we would seek after him and want him as much as he wants us. And he's given us everything to be able to do that. But if you want the devourer, if you want the destroyer, if you want that to be a part of your life, then he's saying, go your own way. You'll experience what that is. And I'll let you experience it, hoping to save your soul. That was Old Testament. God's good always, the devil's bad always. God allows bad things to happen, but it doesn't mean that's what he wanted or it was his will. We like to explain it like this. It's a simple explanation, but guys, I believe simple makes it clear, okay? So you as a mom, sorry, dads, if you're also listening, you as a mom make a cake, and that cake is for dad's birthday. You make a big, beautiful cake, and it's in the middle of the table, and you tell your daughter, you cannot consume this cake until later when we all consume it together. Do not touch it. If you touch it, you will get a consequence. It won't be worth it. So do not do it. And we'll all enjoy it in perfect time. Well, the daughter doesn't listen. And she goes in and she cuts herself a slice and she enjoys it quite thoroughly. And you find out. Now she has a consequence because of her disobedience. Is that the mom's fault? Or is it the daughter's? The cake was made by the mom, provided by the mom. The rules and regulations were provided by the mom so that everyone could partake and enjoy, maybe beyond the daughter's understanding. But the daughter chose to disobey. Is it the mom's fault or the daughter's? You see, when we were created, we were given free will. If we choose free will to go and oppose God and his goodness and his promises and his regulations and his requests, if we go against God and we receive consequences, is that God's fault? No. And that's what he was trying to begin to display in the Old Testament. I will give you every opportunity to walk and live in my blessings. But if you go against them because I am a just God, I will allow what the destroyer wants to bring upon you to come upon you. God doesn't want you to get to that point, but he'll let you get to that point. It's not his will for you to get to that point, but he will allow you to get to that point. It wasn't his will that the enemy rebel. That wasn't God's will. Lamentations 3:33. For he does not afflict willingly or grieve the sons of men. That means he's not trying to set us up or entrap us. He's not trying to get us to fail. Like, you don't make rules for your kids so that you can be like, oh, I hope they fail. I hope they don't listen. Like that cake illustration, that wasn't so that you could go, oh, I hope they eat it and I get to give them a consequence. That wasn't what God is doing. That isn't what God is doing. That's not who he is. And he reveals that a little in Lamentations 3:33, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve the sons of men. That's not his goal. He says something similar in Ephesians 6:4 through Paul to the church at Ephesus, don't provoke your kids to anger. He's saying like that's not the identity of a father. And so let me ask you this. Would you punish your kids with sickness? Or would that provoke them to anger? Would that grieve them? Yeah, I'd be angry. That's not, he is not willingly putting sickness on people. That is not him. But if you go the opposite way of light, darkness awaits. So what is sickness? It's a little death in an area of your body every day. Whose death? The devil. Whose life? God. It's like a mini hell you can experience on earth. That's what sickness is. That's never God's plan. He didn't create it. He doesn't want it for you, but he will allow it if you choose it. That was Old Testament. Constantly exposing himself as a good father, but which will you choose? That's called justice. You know, a lot of times people have a hard time with that word, especially today. Sorry. Especially today, because there isn't a lot of justice. People just want rules when they want rules and don't want rules when they don't want rules. And even now we see it in the court systems with how they're going after a president like they've never gone after him before. We're seeing like people don't stick to justice. It's wavering. Well, God's justice isn't. In fact, the Bible says if God weren't just, then the devil could accuse God of perverting justice. God set a standard and he never changes. So who did God smite? First of all, let's look at this. Those who repeatedly rebelled and did what seemed right. Remember, we're talking Old Testament, Old Covenant. Same God, Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant. God never changes, but how people were accessing, understanding, and what they had available to them over time changed as they listened, obeyed, and shared. So who was smited? Those who were in repeated rebellion, constant, purposeful rebellion in the eyes of God. And any people that stood firmly against his people, Israel, or anyone who had decided to fully, uncompromisably believe God, he stood against them. So who did he smite? His enemies, or those that rebelled against him purposely. Why? Why did God smite these people? Well, first, here goes. I gave you a foreshadowing. Hebrew has something called a permissive will, which means a word can be permissive or, and I'm coming up short of what the other word is. Permissive or purposed, I believe is the word, but don't quote me on that. I'm pulling this from Dr. Robert Young in his book, Hints to Bible Interpretation in the Original Hebrew. I encourage you to get it. It's a small book. If you want to read your Old Testament, understand it. You can't just live in your New Testament, though you need to be in your New Testament daily. You can't just live there because your foundation is the Old Testament for who he is. But this little book, Dr. Robert Young says, or in his Hints to the Bible Interpretation, it's worth getting a small book. It's like $3 on Amazon. Okay. He says, because of the permissive will assigned to that word, it should be translated into the English something more like the Lord will allow you to be smitten, or the Lord will allow these plagues to be brought upon you. That's permissive. So that's not doing the action of, it's allowing the action to happen. It's like an Old Testament spanking for not returning, repenting or turning from their free will choice. And in Romans, Paul reiterates what we already know. The wages or your payment, because you will get paid for how you choose to live your free will life, there is harvest. And the wages for sin is death. You know, in Proverbs 23:13-14, there's do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with a rod, there's twice. It's the same Hebrew word for smite. You will save his soul from Sheol. Okay? When Jesus went to the whipping post, you can study this in history. He was actually struck with a rod, not a whip. Look up, do a study someday on rod as the Lord leads you throughout the entire Bible. The word, the same Hebrew word for smite. Remember what smite was? To blow. to have make blows on upon with a fist, with a rod. Okay, now listen. Is God saying beat your children here in Proverbs 23, 13, 14? No. Nobody's saying if you lift your hand of blessing in an area of their life, their flesh may encounter enough struggle to turn and do righteous things, saving their soul from eternal dying. So don't let them just continue in it because it's easy, because you could send them straight to Sheol, eternal death and dying. But who gets the spankings, guys? Who's the one that you don't hold the rod back from? Those who are making a free will choice to live in sin. Those who are making a free will choice to live in rebellion. What is sin? Missing the mark. Rebelling against God or authority. Authority in your life, like a parent. Okay, not authority that's sinful and doing wrong. So how did sickness come on the earth then? Kate, get to it. How is it here? Did God create it? No. It's a result of sin. The fullness of everything good was created when God created it. Sin creates a lack of God's goodness. So sickness is a lack of God, or no God in that place, just like Sheol is no God in that place, right? So where you remove God, there you will find death, destruction, loss, lack, sickness, right? It didn't come from God. It's actually the absence of him. Stepping outside of his blessings into the curse. This was Old Testament. This was God saying, this is who I am. I love you. Make the right choices to live under my covering, under my hand of blessing and protection. And yet, people would step out. And when God would permit them to be smitten, they would be smited by the devourer. Now, even during all of this in the Old Testament and people figuring out what is flesh and what is God's will and who am I listening to, Exodus 15, 26, which brings about our declaration, says, for I am the Lord God who heals you. He literally, you can take the Hebrew definition of that, and that is, I am your physician, Jehovah Rapha, meaning I'm the one that can bring you out of this sickness, the rebellion that sin has caused for you. I'm the one because I am good. If you'll just come back to me, that's me. I'm your physician. That's so powerful, guys. That's Old Testament, Old Covenant. And he's still living that way. God laid out requirements, just like the mom did with the cake a little bit ago. And he laid out the consequences for disobeying those requirements. Reward for obedience. Disobedience, consequence. But what was the consequence? The consequence is just not being under his blessing. Which one do you want to be? So God is showing you, even in the Old Testament, revealing himself as good, as healer, as blesser, as provider, but free will decided whether or not it wanted to partake of it. Let's write this down wherever you need to write it down so that you remember it. What God allows has nothing to do with his will. Say it again. What God allows has nothing to do with his will. His will is blessing and healing, and that answers our main cue. Is it God's will for you to be in perfect physical health all the time? Yes. Even in the Old Testament. He's a just God. He's a good God. So you can ask this question in your home this week. You can download these flyers. You can download the verse. You're going to have access to the bands pretty soon. What do we do? Here's one of our worksheets. We look up four different translations of our scripture that we're focusing on this semester, and find out what he's really saying. And then we go and find out what the Hebrew word is for healed, whole, delivered, set free, What's God really trying to express to us? What is he trying to get through to us, to his word, and then allow his spirit to make it a reality in us? You're a new creation. Live that way. This word is your source. Rightly divide it. Bring it in and let it be food and life to you. We don't live by bread alone any longer. And we want to teach our kids to do the same. So I can sit at my table and we can discuss what we've all now learned this week, which is God wants us to be in perfect health. That's his will. And that's Old Testament. So I can't wait to find out what he's got next. This is bedtime banter. If you're watching the video, you're going to see it here. God's medicine. Health and medicine to all their flesh. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. That word health, translated there, is medicine. Your flesh is in this world. He, even in the Old Testament, gave them what they needed to live in perfect health. Even then, wait till you find out what we've got now. He's not the author of pain and sickness. It's not his will that people be in pain and sickness. It's not his will that people would spend eternity in eternal death, and he gives every opportunity to not see that happen. How can we do that in our homes this week? We remind each other he's good. We remind each other in scriptures that go and make us uncomfortable, that we're not afraid to dive into them and let the Lord, through his spirit, reveal them to us. We're not afraid to go look up the Hebrew word and grow in our ability to study his word. Don't grow in your ability to study anything else. Grow in that. Stay far from rebellion and disobedience. Tell your kids how he laid the foundation of how crucial it was to understand righteousness and live that way in the Old Testament. How he didn't put sickness on people, but as they disobeyed, as they walked away from him, they participated in what was a curse. That God would allow those things to happen because they'd step outside in disobedience of what he said to do. And because he must be just, he will allow it, but it doesn't mean it was his will. God is good. He's good in your home. He's good in your heart. He's good in your body. Now, your spirit was instantly saved. Your soul is being transformed, and your body is quickened by his spirit. You need to be in his word for your soul, and you need to be in his spirit for your body. Gotta do it, guys. All right. I'm going to go over to class now. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to have the discussion on how to make this real in our homes this week. Over in class, remember you can join us there at rootbible.com. Go to Intentional Mamas. Live face-to-face following the the streaming. And when we sign off here, we go over there and we talk and pray. But right now I'm going to pray over you, that you would be settled in your heart, that God is good and that his will for you is healing and health, perfect physical wholeness. That's his will. So we're going to trust God, not our feelings, not our emotions, not things people have said in the past, not experiences we might have seen or people have shared. We're going to trust his word. Next week, we're going to dive into the ways that God made healing available in the Old Testament, Old Covenant, constantly revealing himself as good. All right. Father, I thank you for everyone that is tuning in here. I thank you that you are faithful and good, that you revealed yourself so beautifully in the Old Testament and that you never change. And as we see you for who you are in the Old Testament, we'll see you even clearer through Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank you, Father, that you show families how to make this a reality in their homes, that you would remind them, that you would stir them up to go out and get the worksheets to apply these things in their home and talk about them. Father, I thank you that your word is life. And as your spirit unites with your word, it is nourishment for us. We don't desire to misuse it. We don't desire to just focus on the ones we like. We want the full counsel of your word, Lord, with the help of your spirit teaching us. And we ask you for that, knowing you've provided it. We ask in faith that it become a reality in our lives and our homes and in those in our homes. In Jesus' name. It's going to be the best week you ever had. You know he's a good God, and you know he loves you, and you know he has good plans for you, and you know you can hear his voice because you're his sheep, you're his kiddo, you're his kid. Your heart is being stirred up to seek him out because all of a sudden you see him for who he is. He's good. And he's got good things for you. Blessings to you. I pray this seed develops a deep root in your heart. Go out and join rootbible.com. Consider sowing a seed into the ministry so we can continue to reach every generation with the truth and really stir up hearts, minds, and homes to know him well. In the name of Jesus, I pray blessings upon you. Until we're together next time, next Thursday, share the podcast, share the recording, share the YouTube, the Facebook, all the things, and we'll see you next time. Blessings. Miss Sharon, are you over here? Let me see if I can get sound on you, girl. Are you there? Hi, I see you. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I am good. I'm so good. Let me switch off this. There we go. Oh, now you can see me. Are you working? You're working from home?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And you got to
pop in quick. I've been listening.
I love it. Do you have any questions on it? It's a big deal. It's a quite a doozy of a lesson.
Yeah, that's very good.
Aww.
Very good.
Did you guys ever get the email? Did you get the?
No.
You are kidding me.
Nope, not kidding. So we have to come there and get it.
Well, which sounds great as well, and hopefully I'll have week two written by then. That's literally what I'm walking out of here to do. That the first 3 or 4 times it was stuck in our outbox. And then when he brought the new email, or you sent the new email, one of you sent the new email, yep. We sent it to both and it said both went. They're no longer in our outbox. So they're out
we
there somewhere.
We don't know where it went, but we never got them. Don't know why.
I am so sorry.
Well, not your fault.
Please. I tell you, the between online platforms and email, oh boy.
Yeah.
Someday we'll have someone that's better at that than we are. It's just been, the email has been nothing but trouble for us since the beginning. So yeah. That's why I even put it right away in the text. Like, if you don't get it, tell me, because we don't get it. We don't know why.
Right.
It's the weirdest thing. So I'm going to try sending it just for good measure again. And then when we're together, I'll print you this week and next week. So okay. You'll have both. I saw, are you guys going to start a Bible study at where you are?
Thinking about it, yeah.
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 Praying about seeing how he's gonna.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would be so good. It's gonna change lives.
I fly out to Michigan Saturday night for Mother's Day and for my mom's birthday. So.
Oh my goodness, that sounds fun.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, Michigan. Let's see. It won't be too bad. It'll be like 60s maybe.
Yeah, I think 70s.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Not like here.
Yeah, not like here, but it's fun to see everybody.
Yeah.
That would be good. Are you there all week?
I leave Saturday and come back on the 20th.
Oh, wow. Okay. So let's see. Well, the 20th is Monday?
Monday.
Yep. Yeah. The 20th, we'll do Root, and then we're believing my parents will come stay here with the kids and we'll be at the Shout Conference.
Oh, awesome.
And then as far as we know, the plan is to get ordained under RMAI while we're up there.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll have Rhema. We're already ordained under Rhema, but we really felt the Lord said to come under River, both, you know, monetarily and spiritually. So we're like, we'll do it. Doesn't make sense to us at all, but we'll do it.
Awesome.
Yeah. So any questions? Anything you need prayer for?
Just for my trip there and
yes,
all the family. Yep.
Yeah. And how are you doing speaking in tongues? You've been doing it? Don't tell me you're doing it if you're not. Okay. That's going to be a big deal, especially even prepping to go up there. Keep doing it, okay? Doesn't matter how silly it sounds. Just lend your voice to him. Get in the spirit. Walk the floor. You know what I mean? Let it just rise up. Don't let your mind go, that's nothing, that's silly, don't do it. You know what I mean? Just push through. Okay? Right. You got it. You got him. Don't let your mind fool you otherwise. That's why I love this lesson, even how the enemy uses scripture, straight from scripture. He didn't even twist the scripture. He just used it out of context, you know?
Right.
Like, it's powerful for us to have the Spirit who makes it so we don't need a teacher and can help us from being in error. Big deal. All right, I'm going to pray for your trip. Anything specific with mom? Will you see your, is it your sister-in-law that's in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
You'll see her while you're up there?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. How is she doing?
It's about the same as far as I know.
All right. Father, I thank you for Sharon. I thank you for the tremendous heart you've given her and the gift of seeing into the spirit and speaking what she sees, the boldness you've given her out of your love, that she says things and people are able to receive it that wouldn't be able to from anyone else, just because of the way you've given it to her through that pure heart. Father, I thank you that you'll protect her heart while she's up there, that those that maybe don't know you as well or aren't as surrendered to you, as they speak words, they will just roll off of her like water on duck's feathers, that they will not stick, they will not take seed or bear root or create a harvest of any sort. I thank you, Lord, that the strength that she walks in while she's up there is yours alone, and that by your spirit, she will have the wisdom on what to say and what to do in every situation, no matter how natural it seems. I thank you, Lord, for safe travels and that she will arrive there and back here on assignment for you, safe and sound. Father, I ask that she not lose sight that she is yours, dearly loved and precious in your sight, and that you have a plan and a purpose for her even on this trip, every moment of every day. Thank you, Father, that you're revealing that now. And I ask that your tangible presence go with her beyond just in her mind, that she would sense you with her by your spirit, the way a warm blanket and a comforter would travel. In Jesus' name. All right. I love you so much.
Me too.
I'm so glad that you're here. I miss you. I know that's going to be like, if we don't see you, that's going to be like, it's going to be like 2 weeks. That's terrible.
You guys busy Friday night?
What is Friday night? Let me let you know after tonight. If I can get the order, the only reason we would be is if I don't finish the order of service today and tonight, because we would have to finish it Friday night. So that would be the only reason. But if we're not, I want to see you before you go.
That'd be fun.
It would be fun. All right. I love you so much. I'm going to go get to work, so maybe we do get to see you. Have a blessed day.
You You too. Thank you for praying.
Of course. Love you.
Love you.
Bye.